The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
You're in the madhouse now.
Welcome to Dueling Reviews, a show where two guys sit down and review one comic in depth just for you, our faithful listeners around the intard webs. I am Steven Schleicher. Over there is Matthew Peterson. If you want to help us out and you want to buy something, head over to Majorspoilers.com. Click on that Amazon.com button. Everything you buy is going to cost you the same price. A little bit comes our way and allows us to do this show week after week after week after week.
Week after
Speaking
week
of week,
it's this been a week.
This week, it's Real Heroes from Image Comics, created, written, and drawn by Brian Hitch. So if you're not familiar with this story, well, what happens if things stop being real and get real, or whatever that is? Or I'm sorry,
stop being polite.
What if we turn Galaxy Quest into a comic book? Hello. Wait, what if... our world today,
yes.
Day and time.
Yes.
9/11 happened. We saw it all happen. Everything happened. People witnessed it. Yes. Flash forward to today. Movie action heroes punching and crawling and clawing their way.
And fighting.
Yeah, I mean, you've got Superman. You've got Giant Woman.
Yeah.
You've got the Wasp, Captain America, Hawkeye. Green Lantern, Quicksilver, or the Flash. It's kind of the one thing that I think they did right on this is they didn't couch it completely in the Marvel universe.
Right. It's not an Avengers pastiche. It's mix and match kind of a superhero archetype.
You got from DC, from DC, you've got somebody that's the equivalent of the Flash, the equivalent of Superman, and the equivalent of Green Lantern. All these other heroes, the wheelchair guy is Green Lantern. The Olympian is Superman, and what's the guy's name? Dash or whatever his name is, the Flash. Then you've
got wheelchair guy pegged for a little more Iron Man.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay, I can see that.
Either way.
Then you have Tiny Titan, which is the Wasp or Ant-Man. Who else do they have? They have a Hawkeye equivalent called Quick Draw or something.
Longbow,
I'm sorry. And then you've got a Captain America equivalent in here.
Yeah. And his name is The Patriot.
Yeah. So
these
it turns
names,
out,
by the way, are a little shopworn. Velocity.
Oh yeah.
And The Patriot.
Well, yeah. So it turns out that this big fighting scene that we're really seeing is the movie premiere for their new Avengers 2 movie or whatever it's called.
Olympians 2, Electric Boogaloo. Exactly.
And we get introduced to these people in real life, and they're not perfect. I mean, one guy's antisocial, another one's a drug-addled crack whore guy.
Superman type is kind of a stick-up-his-butt kind of guy. Who is a dead ringer for Chris Pine, by the way.
Oh, yeah. You've got, everybody's got their problems, right? And they don't really get along with one another. They don't socialize with one another. They're just there because they have to be there for the movie. And then one of these Devastators show up that they were fighting in the movie, and they think it's all a big, wacky gimmick publicity stunt until the Devastator starts killing people, and they rush in and a security guard is helping them through a door lock that has a very interesting little mother box new gods kind of pattern going on to it. And they discover that, oh no, we're not in the parking lot, We're in New York City, but not our New York City, a New York City from another dimension. And the security guard is really the person who used to handle the real Olympians in his world.
The real Olympian.
And he wants these actors to be the heroes, the real heroes, to save their world all next month.
Yep.
So, like I you know, jokingly say, it's I mean, if you've seen Galaxy Quest, you kind of know this idea of what's happened. Hell, if you've seen a couple of Elseworlds titles from DC, they've fallen into this.
Heck, this goes all the way back to the Silver Age.
Yeah.
When Barry Allen showed up on Earth Prime.
Yeah, way to go, Julia Schwartz.
Yeah, it is clearly that. But as with anything, I think that it doesn't necessarily have to be an idea that's like completely fresh and original. Because frankly,
I don't think
everything
so
has elements.
Of right,
it.
Right,
it's
right.
How you do it. And by the way, there is something wrong with that girl's dress.
Which one?
The tiny Titan girl. She is wearing a dress that seems to be see-through in a manner that is simply not appropriate.
I guess I wasn't paying that much attention.
Sorry, I had this thing about skirts. I noticed some. In any case, we get to the end and the last page is a 2-page shot of the actors looking at the camera with like, what?
You gotta be effing kidding me, man. So I don't have a problem with the overall concept of the story, right? Because we are supposed to have this suspension of disbelief thing going on that we will set aside a lot of this and say, oh, it's a fictional story. And we will pretend that these fictional characters are having this fictional adventure in our real world and then get transferred over to Earth 3 or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Problem I have, though, is that there are too many real world references that yank me right out of the story.
There are a lot.
I mean, to the point,
there's a lot of lampshade hanging on the fact that, you know, we're playing with this whole crossover from the real, quote unquote, real world.
Right. And I think that's what the argument's going to be made by a lot of people. Oh, well, they use Josh Trank as the director because that's a real world director who's working on a real world superhero movie. Well, OK, that's fine. Oh, that's Stan Winston Studios. That's a real studio because, you know, this takes place in the real world. And CNN is there because, you know, this is a real world. And, you know, that's fine. That's a great argument. But you know what? The minute that I see Stan Winston Studios or references to Robert Downey Jr. or whoever else that they're doing in this piece.
Yes.
It yanks me out of the story because I'm like, oh, I see what you're doing there. And so when you yank me out of that story, it does not do service to the story that I'm trying to enjoy. It's kind of like when you go to a movie theater and you're trying to enjoy the movie, but you got that person behind you who's smacking on the popcorn or talking to their friend or whatever that they're doing. And they, you know, they just are making noise. And it's distracting. These kinds of things to me in this story are very distracting.
The Robert Downey Jr. references an actor who was in the Avengers movie. And this is a pastiche of the Avengers movie, which means that this is the real world, but there wasn't an Avengers movie, but there is a real Robert Downey Jr. And then your brain starts going, wait.
I took this as there really was an Avengers movie. This is just the next movie that came after that that topped it, because they do talk about the $1.7 billion that this made in the box office the first time around, which is, you know, I think a first Avengers only made, let me double check, made just over $1 billion.
Well, and it's something where it does cause for me that level of dissonance that takes me out of the story. And honestly, there are a couple of things in here that I think are well done. All of the sequences and the dialogue and the fighty fight sequence is very comic book. And it's you know, we will save the day.
Yes.
Yes, America. But when you get out of that, you have to be able to show us a real world that isn't just as cliched as the comic book reality. And I think that for me is the biggest fault in this book, is the Hollywood actor side of things is not any more realistic, is not any less cliched, is not any less terrible in terms of the dialogue and, you know, the flippancy and the tone of the piece is not different enough to make this feel like there's a big difference between real world and fake world. Essentially, it feels like we get this whole thing of we are superheroes and blah, blah, blah. And then we cut back to the real world. Oh, well, it's just as cliche in the other direction, because all of these characters are designed to be the exact opposite of their characters.
Right, right, right.
The Captain America type straight shooter character is played by a Robert Downey Jr., mm-hmm. you know, kind of mad guy. And the super speedster is played by a cool rapper kid.
Yeah.
You know, the super strong woman, the most powerful superheroine of all time, is like, yeah, well, my new diet helped me drop 4 dress sizes. Teehee. I'm like, oh.
Oh, yeah, especially when the title of her book is Love the Size You're In or whatever. And yeah, so it's kind of crazy. So comparing the dollar amounts, the first Avengers movie, $1.5 billion. The first Olympians movie made it $1.7 billion, which makes it officially, as they say in the comic, the biggest superhero franchise in the movie history.
Well, yes.
So, yeah. You know, that's a little tweak there. So in this world, Avengers probably did happen.
I don't know.
Well, I think they make some, don't they make a couple of references at some point to some Marvel properties at some, in some way, shape or form beyond just the Robert Downey Jr. reference?
I think they do.
Or maybe not. It doesn't matter. Sure. The point is, these kinds of things really distracted me from the story. And I know some people are like, oh, you're just being nitpicky. Yeah, and maybe I am. But I just, for me, it detracted from the overall experience. And if I represent only 10% of the population of people who read this book, and let's say this sells 5,000 copies, that's 500 people or $15,000 of people who feel somewhat put out by this first book or distracted by this first book.
Well, if we look at it from the perspective of, let's look at the way I look at comic books. I have read a lot of comic books. So it's hard for me to completely disengage everything I've ever read before.
Right.
But as I said earlier, there will always be references and there will always be things where you'll see the influence of a Will Eisner or a Jack Kirby or, God help you, a Rob Liefeld in a lot of new books. That influence is fine, but what are you saying when you're making these references? When you take this story that feels like the Silver Age Flash crossing over into another universe, that feels like Galaxy Quest, that has the references to the real-life Avengers movie, are you then taking that and saying, okay, all of these pieces are here, and I admit to that. These are my influences. These are my references. This is the pool from which I'm drawing. Now I'm going to tell a story with it. What is the story going to be? So far, based on this issue, the story seems to be, okay, now you get to go be superheroes and you get to deal with the first time superhero thing and deal with all of the cliches of you're going to be a superhero now, but you're a real person and you have to get used to these realities. There's nothing in this issue that makes me say this is something new and fresh. All of the Avengers, the Olympian story, and I think intentionally, is drawn to look exactly like Brian Hitch's work on Ultimate Marvel, Ultimates that fed into the Avengers movie.
Yeah, I mean, even the Captain America character.
Yeah, but an intentional reference. But when I've been reading Brian Hitch's books for the last 5 or 6 years, and every time I say, man, this looks just like his work on Ultimates, here, I feel like it may be an intentional reference. It may be intentionally saying this is supposed to look like Ultimates, but 4 or 5 books before this may or may not have intended to look like Ultimates. And it's something where visually parts of it are stunning, but it looks really familiar.
Well, and if you went with that argument of, oh, Brian Hitch's last 4 or 5 books all remind me of the Ultimates, maybe he's gotten that a lot from people. And because he's writing, drawing everything on this book, creating it, maybe this is his, okay, you want to see me do the Ultimates and this book is going to reference the Ultimates? Here you go, Matthew Peterson. Here you go. Here's the Ultimates. And I'm turning this into Galaxy Quest so Steven has something to pick on. And there you go, people. Now shut up and leave me alone and just buy my book. Now, here's the thing. As much as I've crapped on this book, I want to read the rest of the story.
is this a 5-issue or a 6-issue?
I don't know what it is. It's probably 5 issues if it's from Image Comics.
I want to say 5. And here's the thing about it. Brian Hitch and Paul Neary do good work together. They draw really well. All of the battle sequences are impressive. You know, it's widescreen style, the Ultimates. There's a monster early in the film who looks basically like Brian Hitch's Hulk. Mm-hmm. Which, again, if you love Brian Hitch, that's probably a selling point. For me, I'm kind of like, why does he look just like the Hulk? I don't want to come across as the jaded guy who doesn't like anything, because this is not a bad book. This is just a book where there's so much potential built up into it in this concept. And the way that the solicits are reading and the way all of the promotional materials are saying, this is what we want to do. This is how we're going to turn this whole concept on its head. And then I have a book that's basically 32 pages of embracing all of the cliches of the alternate world. The, oh, well, this really happened in some other universe, and now you have to show up here and be your character. I want something a little bit more. I wanted maybe a little, you know, a different angle on it, more depth in the character. I don't know exactly. Yeah.
But here's why I want to see what's going on for the rest of the book, because we saw what Mark Miller did with Wanted, right? Mm-hmm. And kind of turned that into, oh yeah, this is just another universe, sitting aside all the comic book universes, you know. This mm-hmm. could end up kind of being that same way. What if these guys turn around and he does give us something that puts our puts a different spin on it, completely turns it on its ear, gives us this moment where we go, well, what did you just do in issue two that no one expected? But, you know, he's drawn us down this path of, oh, yes, this is going to be so cliche and all this stuff. Blah, 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 blah. My name's Steven, and this is how I talk. And then suddenly you hit issue two and you're like, pow.
We're reading one chapter of his story, which is right. clearly designed to be more than one chapter. But it is being marketed and sold as an individual issue. Real Heroes number one, on its own merits, is being sold as a single chapter.
Mm-hmm.
So when I come into this and I say, okay, we've got a character who looks like Chris Pine. We've got a character who looks like kind of Mark Ruffalo. And by the way, one minor point. It is hard to draw glasses. But my God. The Mark Ruffalo character's glasses, especially in that last panel, are apparently the most difficult thing in the world to draw. There's this gorgeous two-page scape of a destroyed New York City landscape, and then a close-up of his face, and his glasses are really not right. So, again, although Velocity in that last panel looks like a lot like Jaden Smith.
Yeah. Well, here's the other interesting thing. You know, I said I liked how Miller did Wanted, and I know other people have different takes on it. I enjoyed that. You know, Hitch does thank Mark Miller and Neil Edwards in the book. So he may have done some consulting and says, how did you do Wanted? How did you do, you know, how did you work with me? Because Miller did the first Ultimates.
Well, Miller and Hitch have worked together on several things, and I believe that they are collaborators.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's some Miller specter all over this thing.
Well, yes and no. The thing about Wanted that took a similar concept, and I did like Wanted. In fact, parts of Wanted I really loved. It took one thing and kind of twisted it all around, was the world where the superheroes were wiped out and the villains took over and they were the secret cabal in charge of everything. The implication was that this is why the real world is the way it is.
Right.
This is why we have all these legends of superheroes but don't have any superheroes, mm-hmm. because the villains won and took over. And when you talk about the secret people in command of everything, they're actually the supervillains of the universe. That, to me, was kind of fascinating. And then you had that main character who was a jerk and a really, you know, a hateful character and a terrible person. Mm-hmm. You get to the last page and he literally tells the reader, F you, reader.
Yeah, yeah.
There's something to be said for that. That was a take on the superhero in the real world concept that really kind of struck with me. And this is less superheroes in the real world as it is real world stuck in the superheroes. It's the, mm-hmm. you know, the chocolate in your peanut butter argument. Mm-hmm.
So
but
again,
I like this less than Wanted.
You liked it less than Wanted. Okay.
I did. Yeah.
I mean, I liked it. I mean, I have issues with being drawn out of the story and being distracted by the story, but I want to see mm-hmm. what happens next in the story. And here's the other reason why I think people might want to check it out, is because this is a creator owned work. Right. And I'm a big fan of supporting creator owned works. And Image Comics is really good about working with people with creator owned projects. And if they didn't believe in it, they probably wouldn't have published it, because they've got to make their money before Hitch gets his money. And because of the names that are attached with this, Hitch, Neary, Eliopoulos, Mark Miller, Frank Cho, others in this project, I think it'll probably make its money back. And I really do. I honestly do want to see what happens next. So, you know, we don't really give star ratings or meatloaf ratings like we do on the website, majorspoilers.com, or at our Major Spoilers podcast. But I'm going to say pick this up. If you like this concept, if you are a fan of the Galaxy Quest or the multiple Earth theory type things, and you like to see how these things cross over, you're probably going to enjoy this book. Now, you may be distracted by how glasses are drawn or how come the lead looks like Chris Pine or whatever that you want to go with.
All of the main characters are stunt cast. There's Chris Pine and there's Jennifer Connelly and there's Jaden Smith. I'm not exactly sure who the gentleman in the wheelchair with the Iron Man powers is.
Yeah.
But I think that Longbow is kind of a Jennifer Lawrence type.
I mean, it's there. I just think people are going to that many people will enjoy this. I did like it. I don't think it's the best thing that I'll be reading this week. But it's still very good. And so I say go check it out.
I think, from my perspective, this is not a book that I'm going to probably come back to. And, you know, whether you chalk that up to me being, you know, a terrible human being, whatever you want to look
at. Well, you
are that. I didn't get enough enjoyment out of the concept. And I didn't feel like there was enough transition between the scenes of fantasy and the scenes of reality for me. I felt like when we get out of the, you know, the reality, we get back to reality from the fighty-fighty.
Right.
It all feels just as stilted and just as Hollywood and just as facade-y, just as, you know, unrealistic, I guess is probably the really simple word for which I'm fighting here, as the stories with the superheroes in action did. So the execution wasn't up to speed for me. I wouldn't necessarily recommend it unless it's something where you are a fan of Hitch. If you are someone who really wants to see where this story goes, if this sounds fascinating, absolutely check it out. I would never say don't check out a book. I think that what it comes down to is what I expected out of a comic, what I hoped for from this comic is there, but it's not there at the level that it would bring me back for the next six issues. So
yeah, so the next issue is really going to have to wow me. I want to see what happens with the story, but you're right. It does need to wow me in that next issue.
Yeah. Chris Reynolds, do you think he's half Chris Pine and half Ryan Reynolds?
No, yeah, probably.
And then the other guy is named Danny West, so he's probably half Danny Bonaducci and half Billy West, who was the voice of Stimpy on Ren and Stimpy.
Yes, or Fry from
yes,
Futurama.
Billy West was Fry. So Jeremy Roberts is half Jeremy Irons and half Cliff Robertson.
Okay.
No? Okay.
Sure. Sure.
Okay, fine.
So this is out this week from Image Comics. Go check it out. Yes. Out next week from Dark Horse Comics, Angel and Faith season 10, number one. We get to see what happens to young Giles. If you remember last week's.
On Buffy.
Yeah. Buffy episode.
Buffy number one.
Yep.
Wasn't that this show?
That was this show. So I said last episode, Grindhouse, Doors Open at Midnight, number 7, Juice Squeezers, number 4, Lobster Johnson, Get Lobster, number 3.
Yeah,
those are some of the books. Those are some of the books coming out in Dark Horse Comics. Hey, did you guys do anything for Hellboy Day last Saturday?
Not to my knowledge.
Oh, I didn't know if you guys did any kind of special, you know, here's some great Hellboy trades for you to pick up and buy and read and all that.
They might have. Actually, I wasn't in last weekend very much, and when I did my shift, I was kind of locked in the back writing solicits for the eBay all weekend. So if they did, I didn't hear about it.
But. Okay. Neon Genesis Evangelion Shinji Detective Diary Trade Paperback Volume 2. Say that three times fast.
Let's read the Neon Genesis Evangelion Nenji Penji Penji.
It's a whole trade paperback. We typically don't do trade paperbacks. Over at DC Comics, we've got Action Comics number 3, Aquaman and the Outsiders number 1, Batwing number 30, Detective Comics number 30, Ferris number 25, Justice League hardcover comes out, the Grid, Movement number 11, Superman Red Sun trade paperback getting a new edition. Swamp Thing number 30, Trillium number 8, Trinity of Sin, The Phantom Stranger number 18. Vampire Diaries, is that the same thing as the TV show?
Yeah.
Is it really?
It's an adaptation of the TV show.
Oh, okay. Excellent. Hey, have you heard this crazy rumor that DC Comics is aggressively interested in buying Dynamite Entertainment?
No. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, but it makes me wonder why.
Why not?
I suppose so they could get Doc Savage back and screw it up again.
Now. No need to be rude.
At least they would be able to really continue their first wave stuff because Dynamite's got all the pulp characters.
Oh, they will never do the first wave stuff.
Not again?
First wave just, it was a thing.
It was a good attempt.
It's gone.
But it was just, you know, yeah. The only speculation I saw is that so DC could maintain an East Coast presence because that's where Dynamite's located.
Well, and, you know, this is the thing. If they were to do it, I think it would be perfectly fine. The one thing that I would be really concerned about, though, is if you go through and you do something of this magnitude, what's it going to do to, you know, things like what's coming out from Dynamite that people already love?
And that's curious because Chris Roberson currently writes for Dynamite with some of the books. Mark Waid writes for Dynamite in some of the books, namely Green Hornet. And last I heard, those two writers still had some remaining, let's say, issues with DC Comics.
Well, and I mean, it has happened before. You'll remember Malibu Comics was bought by Marvel in the 90s after people who were unhappy with the big two ended up at Malibu. And those books kind of, you know, they just went away.
Yeah.
The creators were like, oh, we're owned by you guys? Okay. Well, I'm going to finish my contracts and then we're cha-ching.
See ya. Yeah. IDW Later. Publishing. I hope everyone enjoyed that interview this week with the CEO and publisher Ted Adams of IDW Publishing. I thought it was interesting. I haven't really gotten any feedback from anybody yet.
It went up
this morning or yesterday, depending on when you're listening. Hello, future people. You can find that show and all the shows in the Major Spoilers Podcast Network over at the Major Spoilers Podcast Network master feed. You can find that in iTunes or the RSS feed and everything. Or you can just head over to Major Spoilers, click on the Major Spoilers Podcast item, and you can find all the shows that we do there.
Podcast master feed now. Bow, 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 bow.
IDW Publishing next week has Gateway number 4. G.I. Joe Special Missions number 13, Monster and Madman number 2. Oh, did you read your G.I. Joe number 200 today?
Not yet.
Do you have it?
I read a lot of things today, though. I did a couple of reviews.
I saw that. Silver Surfer number 1 is up.
Yep.
As is
All New Ghost Rider number 1.
All New Ghost Rider number 1. Rogue Trooper. Oh, I still need to get the Daredevil number 1 up.
Yeah, you
do. Sinister Dexter number 5.
Dee Dee, get out of my lap.
They do have the Dexter's Laboratory stuff now.
Do you ever wonder why Dexter is vaguely German?
Russian?
When the rest of his parents talk like this.
Because he's a subversive.
Dexter.
He's a subversive?
Yep.
Dexter is vaguely Austrian, I think.
Yeah. Next week from Image Comics, Alex and Ada 2, 3, and 4 get all second printings. A lot of reprints next week. Artifacts gets number 36, Black Science number 5, Elephant Men number 55. Elephant Men number 55.
Ah, thank you.
Fuse number 1 gets a second printing, Invincible Universe number 12. The Noah Limited S&N hardcover edition. Oh, signed and numbered hardcover edition, yeah. $200. I'm going to bet it's only probably about 100 copies. Doesn't say how many copies there are, but signed and numbered, $200. So if you're interested in that movie, you want to pick that up.
Yeah.
Shotgun Wedding number 1, Mature Readers, $3.99. In fact, let's see. How many books does Image Comics next week have that are mature reader books? 68 Rules of War number 1.
That's a mature reader's book.
Artifacts number 36, Black Science number 5, Elephant Men number 55, Field number 1, Fuse number 1, second printing, Pretty Deadly number 5, Revival 19, Shotgun Wedding 1, Sidekick number 6, Starlight number 2, and yeah, all of those have the mature reader heading. That only leaves 1, 2, 3. That's a trade paperback. 4, 5, 6, 7,
3, 7, 2, 1.
7 books out of all remaining that are not mature reader books from Image Comics next week. I wonder at which point Image is just going to say, you know what, we don't need to go through iTunes anymore. We're just going to do all our stuff. I mean, they do that now where you can buy the DRM free versions of the book over at their website, which I think is a great thing. You can get them in CBR, PDF, whatever you want to get.
Well, and, you know, there has to be an audience. And this is, you know, this is what I say about all ages comics, but this is as true of mature readers as there is all ages. There has to be a place where you can go if you just want a mature reader's experience.
Right.
There has to be a place for kids to go if kids just want to read a comic.
So. Kaboom Studios.
Hey, speaking of kids comics, Kaboom.
Yep. Marvel Comics. Popeye. Marvel Comics. Yeah, Popeye came out this week from IDW. But that's the newspaper strips, not the Thimble Theater stuff. Marvel Comics has Black Widow number 5, Captain America number 19, Captain America Winter Soldier number 1 Director's Cut, Deadpool versus Carnage number 1.
Carnage.
Oh, okay. Carnage. Inhuman, I thought it was Deadpool versus Don Carnage.
No, it's that stuff in your nose that isn't bone, it's the carnage. Yeah, that's what it is.
Don Carnage from Disney's the hell was that?
Tailspin
show. Inhuman number 1.
Tailspin.
Loki, Agent of Asgard number 3. Anonymous. Magneto number 2. Anonymous. Marvel Knights, Spider Knight.
I'll do Marvel now.
Marvel Knights, Spider Man trade paperback. Fight Night.
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy Prelude number 1. So that's got to be the prelude into the movie. Better get that now. Moon Knight number 2. Anonymous. Painkiller Jane trade paperback, Price of Freedom. Punisher 1, second printing. Number 2, second printing. Punisher number 4. She-Hulk number 1, second printing. She-Hulk number 3. I'm going to read that one. She-Hulk number 3.
Do we want a dueling review on She-Hulk number 3?
I haven't read number 2 yet.
I liked number 2 and number 1.
Ultimate Spider-Man number 200. $4.99. We shall do Ultimate Spider-Man number 200. I haven't read this book in 100 issues. So it'll be interesting.
Now wait, is it really number 200 or are they renumbering again?
I think they're jumping back to the old numbering because this would be around the number 200 because what's happening
is Ultimate, and then they relaunched it and then they renumbered it back to 100. Then they relaunched it again.
Yeah.
Now so they're renumbering Ultimate, it back to 200.
I think this is probably because, and I don't know for sure, so this is all speculation on my part, that number 200 is the final issue of Ultimate Spider-Man. Because then, now that the whole whatever Ultimatum Galactus Ate My Underwear series is over, I think it comes out next time as Ultimate Miles Morales.
Oh, I don't know. I know that they're relaunching the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, as Ultimate FF.
That's kind of cool.
Also next week, What If Age of Ultron number 1?
Age of Ultron.
Which also could be a very good book, too.
Let's see. There was Ultimate Spider-Man, 151 issues. Then there was Ultimate Spider-Man relaunch, 22 issues. And then there was another Ultimate Spider-Man. Oh, I'm so confused.
Hey, kids, comics. Adventure Time Flipside number 4. Archer and Armstrong number 19. Ash and the Army of Darkness number 5. Betty and Veronica Double Digest. Crossed Badlands number 51. Holy crap. This week had Crossed Badlands number 50 came out this week. Next week is 51. Is that a weekly book?
Not always.
Oh, my goodness.
That's the thing about Crossed. I mean, it wasn't that long. It was not 2 years ago that we had Crossed Badlands number 25.
Let's put
it
that way. Yeah.
And
Garfield number 24.
Thank you. Garfield comes right after Crossed.
Gold Digger number 209. Someday we ought to read us some Gold Digger.
We should
have done, it about 9 issues before. Oh, yeah. I used to have the trade paperbacks from the first run.
I had the Gold Digger Ninja High School crossover.
Yeah. I have that one, too. May have stolen yours.
I did like me some Ninja High School at one point.
Yeah. Hunter X Hunter.
I think that's Hunter times Hunter or Hunter squared.
Maybe. Mark Waid's Green Hornet number 11. Max Steel graphic novel Haywire.
Max Steel.
Naruto graphic novel, volume 65.
Naruto.
Pokemon Black and White graphic novel. Quantum and Woody number 9. Rachel Rising number 24. Red Sonja number 8. And then they've got a Red Sonja and Cub one-shot. Shadow Year 1 number 8. Man, Red Sonja and Cub one-shot sounds pretty good too. Dao Little Samurai graphic novel 1, 2, and 3 all come out next week. Turok Dinosaur Hunter number 3. Ugly Red Doll. Yeah, but I've been too busy doing other things to sit down and write reviews for the last year and a half, which has me mad.
Well, you'll get there.
I need a flacky.
A flacky?
Yeah, but somebody to just come in and just do all these, I don't say menial tasks, but a lot of the lesser work that just is mind-numbing.
A lot of the day-to-day work.
Yeah, a lot of the day-to-day stuff. Postings of this story or that story.
Or the other story.
This sneak peek or that sneak peek. I mean, if I had somebody just posting sneak peeks, I'd have like a week's worth of free time every week.
Don't you have lackeys in Zach and Rob?
Not really, because they both have real jobs now.
Jerks.
Rob's actually had a good end of 2013 and a great start of 2014. So good for Rob. I'm proud of him. Yeah. If I was a father, or I should say, if Rob was my son, I would not be as disappointed as I usually am with him.
I hope he's listening, Rob. I want you to know I've known this man for 25 years. Take it and run with it.
That's the biggest compliment you're going to get right now.
That's maybe the biggest compliment I've ever heard you give.
So I love this Variety breaking news headline that just came in. CinemaCon. Sony teases Spider-Man 2 sex tape. And I'm like, what?
Bahamana?
Yeah, you got to read where they put the comma and the quotes, because it's not Spider-Man 2 sex tape. It's Spider-Man 2 and sex tape. But I got to admit, it was
Emma Stone sex tape?
No, it's like a movie called Sex Tape.
Okay. Because I've heard some skeevy.
They tease sex tape, the return.
They have. Things.
So, yeah, they tease sex tape, the reteaming of Cameron Diaz and Jason Segel since Bad Teacher in the interview with James Franco and Seth Rogen played the trailers for Denzel Washington's The Equalizer and the football drama When the Game Stands Tall. The audience around this reporter seemed less than fond of the Annie footage, but responded well to 22 Jump Street, Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill's sequel. That's all over at Variety. I'm crediting them. I'm just reading their one paragraph.
Correct.
But they did have something to prove.
With 21 Jump Street?
22 Jump Street. That's the sequel. See, they didn't say 21 Jump Street 2. They just said 22 Jump Street.
Which is kind of clever. I'm really surprised that movie took off.
It's funny. It's clever. It's a direct tie-in to the TV series, I thought was very cleverly done.
Cool. Does it have Johnny Depp?
If I told you that, it would ruin the ending.
Well, by telling me that, you've already jerk.
I will say that you won't see it coming.
Okay.
You will think that you are watching something that has nothing to do with the TV series. And then suddenly it does.
You are so bad at hints.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Here's a hint. Watch for the nose. Now you're going to watch that movie, aren't you?
Maybe. I'll watch it.
I didn't think it was one of those movies, and I think this got me started on my trend of Thursday night crap movie night, because everyone's like, Stephen, you got to watch this movie, it's so funny. And I was like, okay, on a night when I got nothing else to do and I'm in the mood for what I would consider a really crappy movie, I will watch 21 Jump Street. And I sat down and watched it, and I laughed and I enjoyed it. And it was good. And then that started me going, okay, so if this is a bad movie that I enjoyed, what are some other like super low rated movies that I would enjoy? And I've watched movies that have been Rotten Tomatoes rating of like 0. That's how low I've gone. I think that was that Saturday Morning Mystery movie that I've told you to watch too. I think it's called Saturday Morning Mystery. I think it's like got 2%. I watched that, not Harry Potter, not Twilight movie that's based on a popular book. It wasn't bad. It only had like a 9% rating.
What was that? Was that like the Percy Jackson?
Not Percy Jackson. I only got through about 10 minutes of that before I got fed up with it. No, it's a step below Percy Jackson, I believe.
Wow.
I'd have to
Percy
go and see.
Percy Jackson wasn't terrible. The widget liked it. And I have to say Percy Jackson had its moments, although the fact that Percy Jackson 2 recast the Pierce Brosnan character with Anthony Stewart head, that was pretty cool. You go from being James Bond to being Rupert Giles.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I have no idea what you're talking about. So
he's got a horse's butt.
Does he now?
Yeah, because he's a centaur.
Oh, see, I got up to the part where the centaur appeared, and then I was like, okay, I'm out. And I just couldn't get into it. I mean, and some people really love it. I mean, Percy Jackson's up to, like, what, the fourth movie or something right now?
I think third. Who knows?
Third or fourth person. Yeah. Yeah, who stole the water or whatever the movie is?
Mr. Brown, can moo, can you, Percy Jackson.
Percy Jackson.
And to think that I saw it on Olympus. Percy
there
Jackson
you go.
Bought.
I'm trying to find this.
500 hats of Bartholomew Jesus.
No, I'm trying to find this movie. I thought it started with a T. Let's see. Oh, here it is. Mortal Instruments, City of Bones. That's the movie that I watched. Oh. And it has a, let me see if it'll pop up here. Show in the iTunes store and see if it's got its rating there, because it doesn't after I've downloaded it. It's got a 12% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. And I was like, okay, I'll check it out. It wasn't terrible. I mean, it's got its flaws, but I mean, it wasn't terrible. And that's why I think it's okay to read books and watch movies that may not be in your area and quietly enjoy them, or quietly just say, what did I just do?
Yeah, you kind of got to do your thing. When it comes to movies, I have always said that the actual value of a movie has nothing to do with any rating. It has to do with how it makes you feel.
Oh, yeah. It has to do with your enjoyment. Totally.
Yeah,
but it could also be a really
like
crappy
stuff.
Movie. And I like some crappy movies. I do like me some crappy movies. I do like me some Starship Troopers and Jumper and all of that stuff.
Oh, God.
What? It's got what's her name in it?
Nina Meyer.
I can't pass up Miss Cutie Girl.
Oh, Rebecca Gayhart? No,
the not
one
Rebecca
who was married
Gayhart.
To Charlie Sheen.
No, the one who was married to Hayden Christensen. Rachel Bilson.
Rachel Bilson.
Rachel Bilson was married to Hayden Christensen.
Wow. I only know her as Ted's ex-girlfriend, Cindy.
Yeah. Are you excited for the last episode of that?
I have mixed emotions. I'm actually a little sad because this has been one of my go-to shows for like 6 years.
But you got like TBS.
Yeah, and it's not like I can't watch the show whenever I want. I mean, we have Netflix too, but and it's on constantly in syndication. Lifetime has it. WGN has it. My DVR is set to record 3 episodes of it randomly. So at any given time, I have 3 episodes of How I Met Your Mother in the DVR to watch. 16 of which feature Ashley Williams as Victoria.
Do you only have it record the Ashley Williams episodes?
How would I do that?
I don't know, because can't you do it? You can do. Oh, here's how you do it. Oh, you don't have a TiVo. Maybe your DVR lets you search by actress or actor. That's what the TiVo. I don't use my TiVo anymore, but the TiVo used to let you search by actor or actress, and then you could only record things where that actor or actress appeared.
It does not. However,
you need to call your Time Warner and bitch at them.
I don't have Time Warner.
Who
I don't
do
want
have?
Time Warner.
Maybe you should yell at your Cox.
I have somebody.
This is one of my favorite editorials from back in the day that one of my friends wrote was Cox sucks. And it was about how awful Cox was. How he couldn't take Cox any longer.
Steven, because we're 12.
No, because their service sucks.
Well, and I'll say this, you know, at one point they were our only cable provider, so had to have balls to fight with Cox.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll have to go back and find Dave's editorial because it cracked me up. That was the title, Cox Sucks.
Oh, God.
All right, listeners.
I'm so sorry, listeners.
I'm going on my, third time around as a 12-year-old?
Yeah, pretty much.
Thank you for listening this far into it.
If I'm not mistaken.
And maybe. If you've made it this far, congratulations. Please share with a friend. Please use the comment section over at majorspoilers.com. You can actually give your rating on this book. over at Major
Did
Spoilers.
Did you say Aquaman and the Others was coming out next week?
I think it is Aquaman and somebody.
I'm going to call that because that sounds like I might be interested in that. Is that that's the Geoff Johns Aquaman with all the people in it.
I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. I'm just excited about reading me a Batgirl comic here pretty soon. Ooh, I got the Bat. I got the Lego set, the DC Lego set that features Batgirl. Can't wait to do a build of that this weekend.
Cool.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. And then I've got the Cinderella Princess Castle one in Lego, too. I want to build that.
Oh, you can make Cinderella Batgirl.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds awesome.
I think it will be. Listeners, head over to MajorSpoilers.com. Look around. I'm sure there's going to be something over there that you will find amusing or interesting or fascinating. Or maybe you just want to sneak peek into something that's coming up. Yes, edutainment. Educating. Edumatainment. There you go.
That's right.
Intermication. Maybe you want to sign up for our mail list and get a free episode of Bonus Tracks, something that's only available to our VIP members over at members.majorspoilers.com. Just sign up for that email list. We don't flood you with emails. You get like one a week at most right now, just giving you some highlights of what you missed on the site. But in addition, you get a Bonus Tracks, which is us sitting down and recording a commentary track so that when you watch Star Wars Episode 4, you've got us in your ears talking to you the entire time.
Hello, we are in your ears.
Or if you think that this episode was worth 50 cents, help us out and become a VIP member over at members.majorspoilers.com. $2 a month. Every little bit helps, and we appreciate everyone who's a VIP member. You're all very important people. At members.majorspoilers.com. We've got to get out of here. I've got still a top five yet to edit and some grading to do.
Oh, my.
Yes, and I've got to get back to about 15 people in these emails that say, hey, man, you want some exclusive stuffs?
Heck yeah,
hey,
we do.
Hey, Steven, you want to review all of the free Comic Book Day comics that are coming out?
Well,
as many as you can send me, I will get them. So they should be here tomorrow, I think, or by the end of the week. So I'll have not all of them. They have 60 comic books coming out. Free Comic Book Day this year. I'm going to have 30 of them.
60 beautiful comics. Blah.
I'm going to have 30 of them land on my doorstep, and I'm going to try to get through as many of them as I can. That's going to be interesting.
30 on the doorstep.
I may have to give Rob and Zach a couple of those and say, here's 10 for you. Here's 10 for you. Here's 10 for you. Get them all reviewed by tomorrow. And watch their brains just flip out of their heads.
Oh, be nice to the boys.
Oh, that's what you say now.
Well, no, actually, usually I kind of say, yeah, go ahead and be mean to them.
Yeah, because I was going to say, as soon as I turn off the microphone, you're going to just say all sorts of bad things about those two.
No, Zach's a fine young lad. And Rob and I, we have that thing where I used to be Rob, and lately I've been missing Bob. No, that doesn't work. Anyway.
All right, listeners, we better get out of here. Thanks so much for downloading. Thanks so much for listening. Thank you for sharing with a friend. Next week, it's, I forgot what we're reviewing already, but it's going to be interesting. It's going to be fascinating. And it's going to be fascinating. It's going to be cool.
And Steven's going to be wrong.
No, I'm going to be right. So talk to you later, everybody. Bye.
Major Spoilers is copyright 2014.